Thank you very much, Brandon. It's good to be here. So you want the short version or the long version? It's very interesting. After Brother Rolland asked me if I'd preach here at the reunion after he found out I was coming up, I thought and prayed about it, and the Lord gave me a dream in May when I went back to Honduras. And so I know what the point is for the sermon. I thought, that's great. I got 3 months to prepare. Guess how much I got in those 3 months? Absolutely nothing. I was getting a little bit concerned. Got up here to a reunion, and Darren preached first. And what stuck in my mind is word of warning to prepare. My brother Sam preached. And what stuck in my mind is what he told us, that who we are and where we are from. It's not some accident that we're here. We are here because of a design. We are here in this moment because of a plan. A plan that was forged so far back before we existed. Steve preached about humility. Are we sufficiently humble? Something Liza said in her testimony this afternoon stuck in my mind. As we grow spiritually, the old us stops fitting. We have to find a new us. We have to change. Our life has to adjust as we grow spiritually. Our brother Mike told us that we have been given everything we need to overcome. And you have been given everything you need. So, my question, what time is it? I suppose this sermon actually started back in 2009. I was newly ordained. And I knew 2 months ahead of time that I was going to preach here at conference, though nobody told me. And I slowly gathered what I brought that year, and at conference, they asked me to preach. I'm sorry, it wasn't at conference, it was a Sunday after conference. Anybody remember what it was? No? Well, right at the end of that sermon, I told you all about a dream I had 2 weeks before coming. And I guess this is where this all starts. I'm going to repeat the dream. I downloaded it from the website and transcribed it. Funny thing is, as I came up here, I was riding with Darren in the car, and the Spirit told me, because I was worrying about this sermon. And the Spirit told me, you already said it. Look back. So, this is the dream that I gave in 2009. I saw the sun darken, but there was still light. It was not a blinding light. It was a light you could see clearly from. It was the truth, the Word of God made flesh. In the dream, I went out to the farm where we live. I was telling my brother that we needed to plant. It was time to plant. In the dream, of course, he questioned me because he said, "This is the middle of the dry season." I answered him saying, "Because the sun has fallen, everything will change now. The curses that are on this land will be lifted." When I woke from that dream, it's very troubling to me. When I have dreams, they're very vivid in my mind. And I was asking God about it because I didn't quite understand it, and I felt that it was absolutely important. And the Spirit told me, the sun that darkened, the source of light which was blinding to the eyes, is the iniquities of this nation. Interestingly enough, two times, yesterday and today, we've been told the definition of what iniquity is. Willfully choosing to do evil when you know it's evil. The iniquities of this nation is that blinding light. This nation, unless it repents, will be darkened. It will be brought down, and when that happens, the world will see the light. The truth will be able to shine forth. I gave that warning here from God that this nation must repent. Why? Because its iniquities blinds the world from seeing the truth. And if it doesn't repent, and I'll just throw that question out, has it repented? No. It's gotten much worse. If it doesn't repent and God does not bring it down, he doesn't love the world. Because the world cannot see the truth. A scripture verse in Amos chapter 3. I'm sorry, I'm going to use my phone because I'm sure you don't want me to read it in Spanish. Amos 3, verse 7 says, "Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets." I believe that verse. I believe that the Lord speaks to us and tells us what he is going to do. In 2010, I preached here again after conference. Previous to that sermon, I gave that sermon on three dreams that were had in Honduras by three members. One was by our brother Luis, who is now an elder in the church. One was by our brother Francisco, who has gone to be with the Lord. Elderly gentleman in the church. And one was given to our sister, her name is Maibis, who at the time was a young person in the church. nice spread across the whole church, right? Ministry, adults, young people, including everyone. I'm going to read those dreams. Brother Luis, his dream said, I was on a coffee plantation with many others. We were harvesting coffee. At the time, I was in the kitchen relaxing while the others were outside playing all sorts of games. After some minutes, someone outside stood up and said, a man comes in the clouds. I left the kitchen and went outside where the rest were playing games and looked up to where the man was pointing. I saw the man and knew it was Jesus Christ coming. I looked around at the people playing and told them they needed to get their lives right with God and be serious, as the man coming in the clouds was Jesus Christ. I believe that he's telling us two different things. That the members are not taking this serious enough. That we're too involved in the world as members. And I believe it was talking to the ministry. Because as a minister, he was relaxing. He was not taking it seriously enough. He was not, as it says in Jacob 3, working with all his might. The dream given to our brother Francisco said, I was standing on the church grounds in Zamorano looking toward my home, but did not see my house. What I saw was a person descending in a cloud, with his hands extended out with the palms facing up, as though he was showing me his palms. He came to me and asked me how I was. I understood in my heart he was asking about my spiritual life. I also understood he was Jesus Christ. I told him that I thought I was okay. But he shook his head no and told me I needed to work on my spiritual life still. Then he pointed to the church building and told me that this was his church, but that the members needed to know that they were not yet ready, and they must get ready as he was returning soon. Our sister Mivies, in her dream, she saw Sasha and herself swimming in a lake. On the shore was Thomas, watching over us. Along the beach came a man. When he arrived beside Thomas, he asked where the youth were that were his. Thomas pointed to us swimming in the water. When we heard this, we got out of the water and approached Thomas and the man. We understood that the man was Jesus Christ. He told us that he had come to get us, but we were afraid because we were not ready. He told us that he would give us a little more time, but that we should get ready as he was returning in 6 months. So in 2010, the ministry were told to give their all, to get the people ready, to get the young people ready, get them out of the world. The members were told, you are not ready, but you need to get ready. And the youth were told to get out of the world and get ready, because he's coming. And you have but a short time. just read a couple verses from Proverbs 3. Verses 11 and 12 says, "My son, despise not the chastising of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth." The Lord chastised us. I don't know about you. He's done it to me since then. Then I heard of this other dream that was had by Betsy. And you know what stuck in my mind? We all know that the milk of the gospel is simple, right? That the meat is the heavier things, right? What stuck out in my mind is that the date on the milk had expired. And I really like the definition that Brother Sam gave, that the world believes that it has no value. And I understand that. But maybe it has a meaning for us. I'm going to read a verse in Mormon. Mormon chapter 1. Verse 17. I'll read 16 and 17. "And I, being 15 years of age and being somewhat of a sober mind, therefore I was visited of the Lord and tasted and knew of the goodness of Jesus. And I did endeavor to preach unto this people, but my mouth was shut and I was forbidden that I should preach unto them. For behold, they had willfully rebelled against their God, and the beloved disciples were taken away out of the land because of their iniquity." When I had my dream in May when I got back from conference, the sum of it was, it is time. I discussed with Ronnie, my older brother, and not only in by blood, but in spirit also. I discussed my concerns that, you know, all I have is this phrase, it is time. And this dream that I was given. And Ronnie said, "Well, I know that's happened to me from time to time, and I put it to fasting and prayer. And I asked God to give me a witness that truly this is what he wants me to do." So I did that. Our brother Ken came down to Honduras, and I saw him for a few days before I came up here. And lo and behold, I go over to Ronnie's house one morning, and they're talking, and Ken, on the spot, without even knowing, says something that I look straight at Ronnie, and Ronnie shrugs and says, "Well, okay, you asked for a witness." Of course, Ken was oblivious to what happened there, but then I come up here and I hear another witness. Betsy's. And I hear Darren's sermon. Well, there's a third witness. How many witnesses do I need? So I'm going to tell you my dream. I was standing in a building. Like, it had glass walls, glass windows. And I was looking out over what appeared to be a field, an endless field, except it was like rolling hills, just went on forever. And each of those hills had this small little city on it. There was an earthquake. Each of those little cities, they were connected with roads, but they were separate cities. And this earthquake, each of those hills like bobbed up and down. There was some damage in each city, chaos, people running around, but it wasn't absolutely devastating. But you could see there was some damage. And as I was looking at that, there was another earthquake, except it was much stronger. And I turned around, and behind me was another hill, except much larger. Much larger than any of the rest. And there was a city on top of it also. And that second earthquake was the cap of that hill or mountain erupting. And lava began to come out of it, foaming, damaging and destroying the city as it came down the side. It didn't destroy it all, but it was much worse, the destruction, than any of the others. And I knew at that moment when I saw that, that I had to go out and tell people, it is time. So I went out into the streets, and I told people, it's time. I don't know what else I said, but I said that. And nobody listened. People were running around frantic. And then as though somebody whispered in my ear, there are certain houses, certain places you have to go and say it. Not just in the street. And so that's what I did. I went from one house to another house to I don't know how many. And I said, it's time. Some people heard me, some people didn't. Some people listened. And after I went through, I don't know how many houses it was, like I said, I left one and all of a sudden I realized, time for me to go. And that was the end of the dream. I know you've all read 3 Nephi, chapter 9, chapter 10. That is a prophecy speaking to the Gentile nations upon this promised land. I don't believe it's speaking of us. I believe we are of the house of Israel by adoption. The word Gentile means those who don't believe. Well, this nation does not believe. Its iniquities are blinding. I know you've all read it, but I want to read in Jacob. Chapter 3. Y'all know this prophecy, right? Prophecy of Enoch. I'm going to start in 140. And it came to pass that the servants did go to it and labor with their mights. And the Lord of the vineyard labored also with them. And they did obey the commandments of the Lord of the vineyard in all things. And there began to be natural fruit again in the vineyard, and the natural branches began to grow and thrive exceedingly. Have we not seen this happen? How many countries in Africa now? How many missions and locals? in the Philippines. The natural fruit is thriving once again. And the wild branches began to be plucked off and to be cast away, and they did keep the root and the top thereof equal according to the strength thereof. And what has been happening in other places of the world? Egypt, Syria, one after another. Branches are being plucked off. And thus they labored with all diligence according to the commandments of the Lord of the vineyard, even until the bad had been cast away out of the vineyard, and the Lord had preserved unto himself that the trees had become again the natural fruit. I go back to the dream I had in 2009. This nation has not repented and will be brought down. What does that mean? That mountain, greater than all the other hills in my dream that I had in May, was devastatingly brought down to its knees, brought low. How is it going to happen? The Lord knows the best way. The Lord's looking to save souls. So I asked you right at the beginning, what time is it? Well, what's the next few verses in that passage in Jacob 3? And that dream that Maivis had, what did Jesus tell her? He gave her a number and a time. Time frame. I don't believe it was literal. But there is a set time. God set a time that it will happen. You go in there into 3 Nephi chapter 9, and I know everybody likes to throw out, well, it says, if they repent. And what was given to Betsy, in my opinion, said that the time is expired for the simple milk of the gospel. They have rejected it. They don't want it. So, are we ready? So Darren asked us, are you ready? Are you still swimming in that lake? Like in Maivis' dream. Have you not prepared yourself spiritually? As Steve said, are you humble enough? Jesus gave a parable, you know, about all this. In Matthew 25, well, probably one of my favorite parables now. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, And, you know, I've gone over this and we've studied it, and I'm sorry, there's no way you can tell me that those 10 virgins are signifying the different Christian religions of the world today. I'm sorry. I don't buy that. Those 10 virgins were believers, friends of the bride, the ones who are supposed to light the way. They were ministry. What was that dream that was given to Luis? He was sitting in the kitchen relaxing. And what was that parable that the Lord gave about the talents? One of them thought he'd just hold on to it and guard it. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. I just have this question. How did they know when he was coming? They knew when he was coming because of what I read in Amos 3:7. He always tells his prophets when he's what he's doing. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. I jump over to Luke 21. Because he's actually talking about the same time period in these verses. Luke 21:28, "And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." It's exactly what the virgins did. They knew he was coming. They went out to meet him. Their redemption draweth nigh. Then dropping down to verse 34, it says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word," or I'm sorry, 34. "And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares." 5 of them took their lamps, but took no oil. 5 were foolish. And in verse 36, "Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." Those were the 5 wise. When he arrived, they were standing waiting for him with their lamps lit. The cares of the world did not overtake them. They were waiting. Going back to Matthew 25. "While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And we are all human. And we all need his mercy. We all have failings from time to time. And at midnight there was a cry made, 'Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him.' Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, 'Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves.' And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they
that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. And that's where everybody jumps on. You can't know the day or the hour. Except that that is a Hebraic idiom. That quote is a quote which speaks of a specific time, which is the Feast of Trumpets. No man knows the day or the hour, because it might start on the first day, it might start on the second day. It might start in the second watch of the first day, or the third, or the second or third watch of the second day. No man knows which day it will start, because they had to see a certain sign. And once the sign was reported to the Sanhedrin, they rang the bells and blew the shofars, and the feast started. No man knows the day or the hour. That's why they had to have a lamp full of oil for the first day, and extra oil for the second day. The whole thing is explaining when. And the Jews understood it, because they were taught. They understood when he was going to be born. They understood that he was the Christ. They just didn't like the outcome. So what time is it? It is time. It is time for that sun to be darkened, so that the world can see the light. But as it said in 3 Nephi, if they repent, I am absolutely positive God will keep his word. And if, as in the days of Jonah, where the king of Nineveh commanded the entire city to repent and to fast and pray, and if that were to happen, I am sure that God would spare this nation, just as it did Nineveh. And that would be the most wonderful thing to see. But you will have to be the judge whether that'll happen. God will have to be the judge, and he'll act upon it. All I know is what I was told. It is time. I believe we've had 7 years advance warning. Six years that we were told to get ready. You'll have to judge where you are. Because if you don't, God will. And write your life with him, whatever that takes. Would Christ say, it's better to go in without a hand or a foot than to not go in at all? If that's what it takes. We need to examine ourselves and prepare ourselves for that judgment which is coming. Thank you for your time.